Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. And I'm joined by the full J-Squared contingent. Well, I guess not, since Marty is a part of the contingent. But Mr. Jason Tross is on my right. Mr. Jeff Reed is on my left. Marty Sparks is not lighting up the dark from the screening room today. But we are nevertheless going to press forward with today's program. Most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs. And you are tuning in on your various means and manners. Is that manners? Is that right? I don't know. Means and manners of listening to the program, whether you are following on Twitter, you can connect with us there at Hamilton Corner, or you are watching through the Hamilton Corner's YouTube channel. If you are, remember to subscribe. You can subscribe to the Hamilton Corner's YouTube channel where you can listen and watch the show all together now, any weather now. You can watch as well on the Hamilton Corner's Facebook page. You can listen live through AFR.net. If you click on the AFR.net website, you can listen live there. And you can also download the AFR app. So you can put Hamilton in your corner no matter where you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, no matter how you're listening, most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs right now. And I want to encourage you to make that transition with full awareness and intentionality. Why do I say awareness? Because, unfortunately, for many of us, we may not be aware that the first institution that God created before there was ever a church, before there was ever an order of prophets, before there was ever a monarchy, the first institution that God created was the family. The first institution God created was a family. It is my contention, and I believe the Bible really lays this out, that the first order of ministerial business each and every one of us has is to serve our families. The unfortunate reality is that often in our hustle and bustle lives, where everything is blowing and going, that we often neglect our families. We cast our families aside in an effort to win the world. You know, we're burning the candle at both ends at work. We're engaging in all manner of engagement outside of our families, not realizing, whoa. The first ministry God has called us to is our families. We had our family shepherds meeting with the men in our church recently. We just revisited the fact that, you know, the Bible says that fathers are the ones who are supposed to lead in evangelizing and discipling our children. And even describing the necessity of fathers to spend the time to glean and to discern how God has made our children, how God has bent our children. What are their gifts? What are their talents? What are their abilities? And then helping them to fill the lane that God has ordained for them. Unfortunately, for example, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. In many places all around the country, a misunderstanding of that scripture has caused many Christians to think that, oh, you just put the children in Sunday school, and, you know, they're going to go away for a while. They're going to stray, and then they'll come back. That is not what that passage is saying. That is not what that verse is saying. That verse says, train up a child in the way he should go. The Hebrew rendering really is train up in the child according to his way. Then it says, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. There's a continuation there. There's no provision in scripture for expecting and anticipating our children to wander and stray. That's not saying that it won't happen, but you cannot say the scripture supports that understanding. And so the antidote for that, yeah, that's what we call it. Deanna's family shepherding. That's what we do at our church. The antidote for that is for us to spend the time that's necessary, discerning their gifts, discerning their callings, discerning their talents, and helping them to find that trajectory. I say it like this: it should not be found among the believer that our children are living lives as exploratory majors. That's why God has given the children of Christian parents. Christian parents. We aim our children like arrows toward a target that God has ordained and designed for them to hit. But the thing is, that doesn't happen in the microwave. Disciples are not made in the microwave. One of the phrases that my wife and I learned a long time ago at a homeschooling conference is that quantity of time gives rise to quality of time. Quantity of time gives rise to quantity. I'm sorry, I'm saying this wrong. Quantity of time gives rise to quality time. You can never pre-plan those poignant moments. You know, you can't say, oh, well, you know, Friday at 3, you know, I'm going to make sure little Johnny and I have these deep conversations about the sovereignty of God. Oh, Saturday at noon, we're going to make sure that little Johnny understands the doctrine of the Trinity. Can't do it like that. But quantity of time gives rise to quality time. So I'm just simply urging us, man, and to be a part of the fulfillment of what the Lord prophesied through Malachi, leading into the intertestamental period, to where we understand family is our first order of ministerial business. Let us serve our families well. Let's not just hope and wish, or even worse, subject our household and our offspring to be discipled by the world, all the while, you know, crossing our fingers and, oh, I wish I may, I wish I might, little Johnny and Jenny would serve the Lord tonight. No, man, let's invest ourselves. And not only in our children, but first and foremost in our marriages, in our spouses. That is ministry. All right. Jeff's looking at me like, enough of that, Abe. I'm kidding. No, he's not, Joe. No, he's not. Don't let anybody throw anything at Jeff. He's not. I'm joking. Bad joke. Bad time joke. All right. The first order of ministry is the family. Let us not be found wishing that we would have done it differently. And if we're in a place, because there's always hope that we recognize, man, Abe, I sure do agree with what you're saying, but I wish I'd have known that some years ago, because I don't have my children in the home with me anymore. Let me tell you something. Contrary to what the world says, you're always a parent. And your child will always need you to be the godly man or godly woman that the Lord desires for you to be. So first and foremost, look, if you're hanging out in the Hamilton corner, you're going to find that we believe in the power of prayer. Hope is not wishing. Hope is biblical. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. You know, you'd ask somebody else, I'm about to stir the pot a little bit here. If you'd ask somebody about, I don't know, 6 months ago, if they ever thought they'd hear about Kanye West declaring Jesus as king, you probably would have heard people saying, no way. And I always offer this when I'm talking to people about hope. Who would have thought that when old Deacon Stephen, in the middle of being stoned, he allowed a worship-filled prayer from his lips to say, Lord, forgive them, because they don't really know what they're doing. Who would have thought that that seemingly throwaway prayer would have been answered in the form of Saul of Tarsus? None of y'all. Me too. I probably wouldn't have thought that either. Saul has given approval to Stephen's stoning. Nevertheless, the Lord answered the cry of Stephen's heart. And the next thing you know, Saul of Tarsus becomes the Apostle Paul. I'm just saying, folks. I'm just saying. No such thing as too late in the kingdom of God. Because who's the author of the too and the late? Him, not us. Man, let's be about our Father's business. If you've never, and I mean this, if you've never engage in prayer and fasting, and you're in a position where you have prodigals, today is your day. Man, stretch out before the Lord, man. Stretch out before the Lord. Extend yourself. Reject the delicacies and the dainties and cry out to the King of Glory to be to your child what he was to you. Because if he can save you, why can't he save your child? Oh, man. Deuteronomy chapter 8, that's where I'm going. Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. If you are not aware, Deuteronomy, Deuter means two. So this is the revisiting of all of the things that are basically laid out for us and laid out for the Hebrews in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. What happened, just as the Lord said it would, the first generation of Exodus Israelites, they died off over the 40-year time period. So Deuteronomy is a recounting of the historical events, the theological teachings, and the laws of God for this second generation of Israelites in preparation for entering into the promised land. That's what the entire book of Deuteronomy is for. So you have some children who are young whippersnappers coming through the Red Sea. You have some children who were born in the wilderness. So they didn't know anything about slavery or bondage in Egypt. And so Deuteronomy exists to reintroduce, if you will, the second generation of Israelites to the Lord's ways. And look at what the Lord, through Moses, said to them. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Very simple communication I want to offer today. And before anybody gets sidetracked, you haven't heard me talk a whole lot about the Kanye West situation, because you know what? I don't think he should be treated any differently than any other person who's making a profession of faith as a neophyte, all right? My prayer is that allow the man some space and allow the grace of God to work in his life, if that is what's happening. You know, if he is in fact a true believer, man, I pray that he would be able to be grown and to stretch and to be sanctified. That process will begin and continue in his life without having everybody got to have their two cents to say about this man's salvation. You know, sometimes I think we get so inoculated with celebrity, it causes us to go a little bit bonkers. So you won't hear me say much about him other than this, what I'm saying right now. I didn't even plan on talking about him. You know, if it is a genuine conversion, praise be to God. You know, and may he grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I pray that these other people won't continue, and who profess to be believers, won't try to exploit him because of his celebrity. Back to Deuteronomy. That's it. Nothing else to say about that. The simple communication from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Make sure, Israelites, which by extension will apply to us, make sure that you don't forget the Lord when your tummies are full, when your pockets are fat, when your 401ks are going berserk, you know, when your mutual funds are exponentially reproducing. Make sure you don't forget the Lord when you have plenty, because it's not very difficult for people to cry out to the Lord and remain dependent upon the Lord when money is low, when things are tight, when things are difficult. Many people turn to the Lord in the face of difficulty. But the Deuteronomy chapter 8 warning is when you have eaten and your bellies are full, when you have plenty, make sure you don't forget the Lord then, because the Lord knows the sinful tendencies of humankind, that when we have plenty, we tend to get, like my dad used to say, you start feeling yourself, you start smelling yourself, you start living. And notice what I'm saying, living. You may not say, huh, I don't need the Lord, I have all that I need of. But by our lifestyles, we live as though we don't need the Lord. I've said repeatedly, I'm going to say again, prayerlessness in the life of a believer is a tacit declaration of independence from God. We are saying by our lifestyles, I don't need the Lord. Look at all of these things that I have. I have the interweb. Who needs God when you have the interweb? Who needs God when you have not one, you have two or three cars, not three, three cars. You have a garage to put it in. You have enough money where you can buy a car for yourself, a car for your spouse, and you have your play car that you drive on the weekend. The warning from Deuteronomy is be careful then. And my encouragement to you, if you are in the place where you're not desperate, where you're not, your cupboards aren't bare, that you make it your business to be even the more dependent upon the Lord, because nothing can deceive us like comfort, luxury, and wealth.
common sense ruling from a Texas judge. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. A Texas federal court struck down a ridiculous rule from the Obama administration. It requires doctors to perform so-called gender transition surgeries on any patient, including a child. And that was even if the doctors had a religious objection or believed the procedure could harm the patient. Doctors who refused would have faced penalties, including losing their jobs. This common sense ruling by the judge is a major victory that ensures medical professionals and entities will not be bullied out of the healthcare field. Medical professionals take an oath to do no harm, and that includes harmful procedures that violate their medical and moral judgment only to fulfill the agenda of activists. Studies show the tragic effects of hormones injected into growing children, not to mention having their healthy body parts removed. Please stay informed and visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
More college-educated Americans believe God created mankind than believe it occurred by random evolution. This is Gateways to Better Education. I'm Eric Buer. In June of this year, Gallup conducted a poll asking Americans about their views on the origin of human life. They found that 33% of college-educated people believe in evolution without any divine involvement. They also found that 23% believe in the biblical account, and 40% believe in God-guided evolution. Put those together, and it means 63% believe God created mankind either as described by the Bible or in guiding the evolutionary process. When it comes to the views of college-educated Americans about the origin of life, the overwhelming majority believe it was an act of God. Make sure your children are equipped to be discerning in their science classes. Be their gateway to better education. Visit gogateways.org.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The sham, scam, and hoax impeachment of President Trump goes on. The unofficial and unconstitutional hearings continue behind closed doors so that the public only hears what the president's enemies want us to hear. No one in the president's party is even allowed to subpoena witnesses. What we are witnessing is an attempted coup d'etat using deception, irregularity, and concealment to unseat the president the American people chose to lead them. At the same time, Attorney General Bill Barr continues his investigation into the origins of the Russia collusion hoax. The race is on. Whether President Trump's enemies can lie, cheat, and steal their way to removing the president before Bill Barr throws them in prison. The Washington Post believes, to quote their motto, that democracy dies in darkness. Maybe they know what they're talking about.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm going to wade into a subject that, you know, I don't really want to talk about. I feel like I need to talk about it, like I have a responsibility to discuss it. But I don't really want to talk about it. So I'm at this point, I'm like, man, listen, put up or shut up. You know, this is, I'm talking about this impeachment situation. So yeah, we have lots of things going on here. Where do I want to start? I'll start here first, and I know many of you may not even be aware of this, but over a week or so ago, there was a witness who supposedly was going to seal the deal on President Trump, and this surely would lead to concrete grounds for his impeachment. It was a man by the name of Bill Taylor. He's a former ambassador to the Ukraine, and this is in the closed door session. So you didn't get to see this. We didn't get to watch this. You can only read about it as things leak out after the fact. But this Bill Taylor guy was supposed to, and I don't know the guy personally. I don't know everything. I don't know his whole life story. I don't have his biography, you know. But apparently, he was eviscerated in the closed door session. I mean, this was like the big witness. The big witness was going to take President Trump down. Well, lo and behold, people started finding out about this gentleman. Turns out Mr. Bill Taylor. Let me get it right. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want my lack of interest in the story to cause me to do an inadequate job of reporting it. All right. But lo and behold, Mr. Bill Taylor led an election observer delegation to Ukraine in April of this year. Yeah. Led an election observer delegation to the Ukraine. Oh, you were thinking it was for a governmental entity for the U.S. No. See, at this time, this is before Mr. Bill Taylor came out of retirement to work with the U.S. government. At this time, Mr. Bill Taylor worked for an organization called the National Democratic Institute. You want to know what's so funny about that organization? One of the entities that provides funding for the National Democratic Institute that conducted this election observer, delegation, just in April. One of the sources that fund them, George Soros' Open Society. Oh, and did I mention that one of the council chair members for this National Democratic Institute, you know, peering into affairs in Ukraine during their election? Yeah, Hunter Biden was on the board for this organization. Yeah. So this kind of closed-door session didn't end well for Bill Taylor. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, because if you notice, there's a pattern that when the trail goes cold for one pup, enter a new pup. So now, much of the conversation today on Capitol Hill is about Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who speaks Ukrainian and Russian and is supposed to be the latest and greatest in the whole process. So let me. All right. So you have dueling resolutions going on. So a couple days ago, a day or so, probably Monday, Lindsey Graham in the U.S. Senate drafted a resolution that was immediately co-sponsored by Mitch McConnell and 50 other co-sponsors that required the House of Representatives to formalize their impeachment activities. So let me rewind the tape a little bit. Having this informal impeachment inquiry allowed to date the process to escape the what is understood as the traditional process that will be bipartisan, to where both the majority in the House of Representatives, that would be the Democratic Party, and the minority, that would be the Republicans, would have the opportunity to call witnesses, subpoena witnesses, participate fully in the various hearings and testimony, queries, and all of this stuff. Well, that has not been happening, because without the announcement of a formal inquiry, there is no legal, if you will, right to the bipartisan transparency that everyone likes to talk about so much. Now, just to make it clear, impeachment is not a legal query. It is a political remedy. I don't know how many people realize that. It is solely a political remedy. It's the gravest political remedy, but it is a political remedy. So the traditional rules of evidence that would be applicable in a court of law, that doesn't apply here. The traditional right to confrontation of witnesses, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Fourth Amendment protection, all that kind of stuff. Even though we're used to that as a society, these are not strictly applicable within this context. So the House of Representatives' role in this, they serve as the body that would offer the equivalent of an indictment. They offer the charges. The Senate is the body that would conduct the trial, all right? But what the administration has been saying, and many Republicans in Congress have been saying, is that, well, even if you, in the charging process, we should be allowed an opportunity to present witnesses, to make a defense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Well, about Monday or so, Senator Graham, with now 50 other, a total of 50 co-sponsors, which would be a majority, because if there's a 50-50 tie in the Senate, because there are 100 senators, I'll make sure everybody remembers that, there are 100 senators. So if there's ever a 50-50 tie, the vice president is the tiebreaker. So when you have a resolution in the Senate that has 50 co-sponsors, you already know that if it's something that is favorable to Vice President Mike Pence, or more than likely favorable to the president, then that resolution will pass with Mike Pence providing the deciding vote. Got it? Got it? We got it? We're all in the same place? All right. So this impeachment resolution that was drafted, or I'll say this resolution concerning the impeachment query, was drafted by Senator Lindsey Graham. Some of the provisions of the query, they express, well, let me say this. The goal of the query, the goal of the Senate resolution, is to make sure that whatever comes out of the House of Representatives would satisfy basic standards of fairness in order for a trial to be conducted in the Senate, all right? So the resolution drafted by Lindsey Graham requires, quote, it calls on the House of Representatives, prior to proceeding any further with its impeachment investigation into President Trump, to vote to initiate a formal impeachment inquiry. All right, let me pause and offer some commentary. Traditionally, well, I'd say historically, there have only been two examples of prior presidents who have been impeached. All right, you have Andrew Johnson in 1800s, the mid, right about the mid 1800s. You have Bill Clinton in the 90s. Nixon would have been impeached, but he quit before he could be impeached. All right, so there's only two other examples, Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. As an aside, it will be a good source of study for everyone to learn what were the circumstances that Andrew Johnson was impeached in. Absolutely fascinating. And his impeachment did not result in his removal because it failed by one vote on each of the articles of impeachment. But leaving that for the moment, stay on track, Abraham. The next point I want to raise from Senator Lindsey Graham's resolution requires this, quote, calls on the House of Representatives to provide President Trump, like every other American, with due process to include the ability to confront his accusers, call witnesses on his behalf, and have a basic understanding of the accusations against him that will form any basis for impeachment, and calls on the House of Representatives to provide members of the minority, that would be the Republicans, with the ability to participate fully in all proceedings and have equal authority to issue subpoenas and other compulsory processes, end quote. Now, why is this important? Because should the Senate pass this resolution, they are letting the House of Representatives know that if you do not comply with what we are requiring of you, we won't even have a trial on whatever you pass in the House. Because there is no requirement lawfully, okay? Lawfully, there is no requirement that the Senate conduct a trial based on an impeachment vote held in the House. The Constitution does not require it. Now, the Senate rules require it, and it would be clearly a partisan move if the Senate refuses to hold a trial. Nevertheless, this resolution from the Senate is putting the House of Representatives on notice that if you don't do these things, this is the ground. These are the grounds. This is the bases upon which we will tell the American public, because they failed to do A, B, C, and D, we're not having a trial. All right. So, and I'm sharing this so you can understand what's going on. Lo and behold, following the formal draft of this resolution by Lindsey Graham, what happens today? Oh, Nancy Pelosi drafts a resolution to have a vote to formalize what they're describing as an impeachment inquiry. Isn't that interesting? Now, how many times and how many places when they've talked about,
oh, the House of Representatives to have a vote on a formal impeachment inquiry.
I bet they didn't tell you about Lindsey Graham's resolution. And I'm telling you, these people, snakes that talk, telling you. Getting back to Nancy Pelosi's resolution. This is craziness, y'all. I never thought I would see the day where the United States of America would devolve to the place where this feels circusy, doesn't it? It does to me. This feels circusy. But getting back to the House of Representatives resolution. Following the announcement of Lindsey Graham's resolution, Nancy Pelosi has now drafted a resolution of her own concerning impeachment. But let me tell you, Nancy Pelosi is not calling it an impeachment resolution. Even Steny Hoyer, the House Majority Leader, so he's under Nancy Pelosi in the House of Representatives, they're all saying this is not an impeachment resolution. Now, why do you think they would say that? I'll tell you why. Because they know that the idea of removing the president based on information that's publicly available now is not a popular one politically. So they're saying, oh, we're just formalizing the inquiry, but this is not an impeachment resolution. I'm like, all right, that's a difference without not much of a distinction. except for the fact that you're saying that you're not holding a vote on impeachment. So basically, you're attempting to give formalizing sanction and formalizing cover to your efforts to continue this kind of skullduggery, to continue to kick up dust and foment these attitudes. Now, I'm going to cut right to the chase. I know that's what a lot of people listen for. And I'm just going to remind you what Congressman Al Green has already told us. It is my contention that the efforts that are being employed here are not a pursuit of justice. Okay? I'll explain that in a moment further. This is, in my opinion, a political strategy, and a rather desperate one at that, because I think there are many in the Democrat Party who are deathly afraid they will not be able to beat President Trump at the ballot box in 2020. Now, just so you can be reminded, this is what Congressman Al Green told us. And this is a man who's attempted to file articles of impeachment. This is what he told us months ago, that the real motivation for this was. I don't think he realized he was telling us what was the real motivation, because he said this long before Nancy Pelosi even announced an impeachment inquiry. But listen to what Congressman Al Green from Houston, Texas had to say in clip number one.
Congressman, are you concerned that impeachment talk may actually help the president's reelection?
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
Congressman, are you concerned that impeachment...
You heard him. He's concerned that if you don't... Now, Congressman Al Green is a Democrat congressman from Houston, Texas. He said that he's concerned that if President Trump is not impeached, he will be reelected. Listen, folks, I think many in the Democrat Party share that same concern. Because you have to ask yourself, wait a minute. So we're doing all of this impeachment inquiry stuff, and you've had committees like the House Intelligence Committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee, the Financial Services Committee, the Ways and Means Committee. They have been investigating President Trump for impeachment for over a year now, at a minimum, if not longer. So why would it take so long to cobble together articles of impeachment, which is similar to an indictment? These are the specific allegations that the House of Representatives is asserting that rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. All right. That's what the articles of impeachment are. If you've been looking into this for all of this time, what's taking so long to put together the articles of impeachment so the entire House of Representatives can vote on it? I'll tell you why. I don't think they really even want to vote on it. Because they know even if the House votes to impeach President Trump, the Senate is not going to convict him. Just like in the 90s, what happened to former President Bill Clinton, the House of Representatives impeached him, the Senate refused to remove him from office. So you know what happens after that? Nothing. And it looks to the American public as if it's nothing more than political rancor. And so I think the House of Representatives and its leadership is recognizing, oh man, we're in a bad spot. So they are going to, this is my opinion, one man's opinion, they are going to try to drag this impeachment conversation out as long as possible to make it bleed over as much as possible into the November 2020 elections. Why? Because it is a political campaign strategy. It is not about a pursuit of justice. I'll give you a short example before we get to this break. All of this hubbub, and I don't know the Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you know, he was concerned. He may very well be concerned, you know. But the whole idea of quid pro quo, first of all, the whole country right now has seen the transcripts. In his secret testimony, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman said, basically confirmed what President Trump said about the call and what was released in the transcript. There have been no new facts, no new insight granted, but basically confirms what President Trump said. At the time that the call took place with the Ukrainian president, the Ukrainian president didn't even know anything about the status of the supplying support for military armaments. Didn't even know. He said there was no quid pro quo. President Trump said there's no quid pro quo, which is Latin for saying you give something to get something. What, can I tell you something? Quid pro quo is the way that foreign policy is conducted in every country, including the United States of America. Bernie Sanders is right now on a campaign trail saying that we should adjust the amount of money we give to Israel in foreign aid until they change their stance concerning the Palestinians. What do you think that is? If not, give and take.
Thomas Jefferson once wrote,
"Of all the systems of morality, ancient or modern, which have come under my observation, none appear to me so pure as that of Jesus."
In our turbulent world, AFA Action is advancing biblical family values in society and government by educating and influencing public policy. Subscribe to the AFA Action Alert and learn more about our efforts at afaaction.net.
In matters of principle, stand like a rock.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Practice what you preach. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Jesus Christ exemplified love and compassion toward most everyone. But for the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, he pronounced woes because they didn't practice what they preached. Today's social justice movement is rife with hypocrisy and selective outrage. When it comes to race, gender, sexuality, and climate, they are the first to scream. But when it comes to a baby's right to life or people in Hong Kong protesting communist China suppression, they are mostly silent. Apparently, real injustices aren't as important as their preferred social outcomes. Christian, don't play the hypocrite. Stand for justice as God defines it and be consistent. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu.
It's no secret that many of our nation's public school classrooms are controlled by liberals, churning out generations of kids who have been taught to hate America, to despise our way of life. That's what's happening in Walcott, Connecticut. The other day, a parent shared a classroom assignment that many are calling politically divisive and hurtful. The assignment was given to students in 10th grade civics classes to help them figure out if they were liberal or conservative. The teachers told the kids that liberals believe kids ought to be able to listen to any music or watch any TV show they want to watch. They said liberals also believe kids should be able to go out alone on a date or attend an all-night prom. Now, the questions had nothing to do with politics, but that was not the point. It was about planting seeds in young minds to poison their opinion of conservatives. To see the entire list of questions, check out ToddStarnes.com.
The Hamilton Quarter Podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. What I was saying before the break, and we'll open the phone lines this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. The number to call again is 888-589-8840. Excuse me. What I was saying before the break was, you know, based on the testimony that's available so far, you know, and again, y'all know me. If the president did something wrong, nobody should be above the law in America. Everybody should be held accountable. But I'm kind of like the old Wendy's advertisement. Where's the beef? I mean, we're 3 years into this thing now. Surely there should be enough evidence if you're saying the president has committed high crimes and misdemeanors that are worthy of impeachment. What's the delay in crafting articles of impeachment? I'm saying do it. Put up or shut up, man. But I'm telling you that this is a political objective, which is why they don't want to put up or shut up. They want to drag this out as long as possible. That's why Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi, they're bending over backwards trying to say, oh, this is not a vote on impeachment. They're holding a vote supposedly Thursday on what providing the formalized framework for the impeachment inquiry. What is that? Word salad to say, well, we basically want to vote to let us keep doing what we're doing already. I'm like, come on, man. Word salad. Let's get with the getting. You know, if you got the goods, let's do it. Stop pump faking. That's what we call it. You got the pump fake life. Man, pull the trigger. Shoot the shot. All right? Now, getting back to this whole quid pro quo thing. President Zelensky in Ukraine said no quid pro quo. President Trump said no quid pro quo. By now, all interested Americans who wanted to read the transcript of the call have read it. I think, this is my opinion, the only place, the place where the issue could become problematic is if you're asking for, like, personal favors. But asking for an anti-corruption probe? I mean, the way that the U.S. government does foreign policy is by saying, hey, if you help us accomplish our objectives, we'll help you on the other end with supporting other things. I mean, have we forgotten, for example, that former President Obama and his administration with Secretary Hillary Clinton as the Secretary of State withheld support from African nations until they agreed to embrace abortion? I mean, did you guys know that? And have we forgotten that? What do you call that? That is the way the U.S. government does diplomacy. Hey, Iran, stop being a terrorist nation or we'll sanction you. Come on, people! And the thing that really galls me is that they really think the American people are stupid. They do. They do. Hey, Iran. Oh, do I need to remind you of Bill Clinton? Hey, Kim Jong-un's daddy, stop firing those missiles. If you stop, we'll send you some money. That is what's been going on with international diplomacy. I think y'all got the point by now. But but what they do is they use the media and they give these illegitimate claims the air of legitimacy by saying, oh, can you believe that there's quid pro quo on the part of the president? Oh, he demanded to have, the president of Ukraine to do his dirty work for a personal political favor, or else he'll withhold military arms support. When the president of Ukraine had no idea about the status of the military arms support, when President Trump was calling him to say, man, congratulations on a win to unify your country. It's just, you see why I don't want to talk about this stuff, man? And I try to wade through it to bring this down to the lowest common denominator so everybody can understand and you can engage in conversation with your friends and loved ones. But it's frustrating for me. Because I'm like, this is dumb. You have our whole country going and you're willing to completely trash the perception the American public has of the presidency in an effort to continue your political agenda because you're scared to beat the man at the ballot box. Because you see, folks, they were all shocked in 2016. None of them ever considered for one moment that Donald John Trump could win the presidency. And because they live in their own echo chambers, they live in their own bubbles, they have no idea what the American people actually think. I mean, if you heard this show last Friday, I talked about Senator Josh Hawley's legislation where he had the ground-shaking idea to move the federal bureaucracy out of Washington, D.C., then you had these bobbleheads in D.C. saying, oh my goodness, if you take these agencies away from D.C., where will they find qualified employees? Where will they find educated employees? This is a fact, Jason. They put this in writing. And I'm saying, oh, so you just think that the only place that you have people who actually know something, the only place they could be is on the coasts? This is the type of elite snobbery and the absolute disconnectedness that they have with American people. this, and I was like, so you're wasting all of this time, spending all of this money to accomplish this task when November 2020 literally is like 12 months away. The American people, will impeach the president through the ballot box if they want to get rid of him. If the American people do not like the job President Trump is doing, guess what? We'll get rid of him. But you know why they don't want to risk that chance? Because they tried that in 2016. And Al Green told you, I'm afraid if we don't impeach this president, he will win re-election. And that's what this is about, folks. The number to call, if you want to join the program, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. That number again is 888-589-8840. A couple quick points I want to hit that I thought this was pretty interesting. Did you know over the weekend, Joe Biden was denied communion at a Catholic church in South Carolina? Oh, yes. Reverend Robert Morey, who was the priest at this Catholic church in South Carolina, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Florence, South Carolina, said, yeah, Joe Biden can't get communion here because he doesn't follow the church's doctrine on abortion. Yeah, man. He said, nah, you can't get none of this here, player. How you going to violate the church's teachings? It didn't say you want to be down with the church's teachings. That dog don't hunt. So I thought that was interesting. Another thing, did you know, as a result of President Trump's newly implemented rule concerning Title X funding for abortion providers, that 876 abortion clinics have lost their federal funding? Yeah, 876. So I just thought that was interesting to share. With that, we'll go to the phone lines. We'll start in the boot in Louisiana, where Patrice is on the line. Patrice, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Thank you for calling the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing well. I was calling to comment on your beginning commentary about Deuteronomy 8.
Yes.
And it made me think of a message I heard by Miles Monroe about what God is after for all of us is stable faith. Mm. And he referred to the passage in John 6 where they were looking for him because he had just fed them with the loaves and the fishes. But when he presented himself, his blood, his body, they rejected it and they turned away from him. And so for us, if we have a stable faith in him, the things don't matter because what he really wants to give us is him, not the things.
Come on, Patrice. So, Patrice, you preaching. Patrice. A word from Patrice. Ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely right. You know, I posed the question one time to my children, and they didn't understand it initially when we talked about it. I said, would you want to go to heaven if Jesus wasn't there? And then, man, you know my children. You know my children. Anna hit me with that work. Anna said, Daddy, your question doesn't make sense. There would be no heaven without Jesus. Well, I like to tune up my own organ for my daughter. I said, baby girl, that is exactly what I'm talking about. And you guys, you know the point I'm driving at. As Patrice said, the Lord desires for us to cleave to him above everything else. That is why the presence of abundant provision or the absence of abundant provision would not change our passionate pursuit of our King. And if you read the book of Philippians in context, when Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he's not talking about, you know, I can finish the Iron Man course in under 40 minutes. No, he's talking about whether I have much material provision, sustenance, or I have little. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the reason why I'm saying this, I think in many ways, in many instances here in our own, our very own country, that we have been lulled to sleep spiritually in many instances because for many of us, not everybody, because there are all kinds of people listening to this program. But for many of us, our lives are pretty comfortable. For many of us. And we have, I call it the luxury of prayerlessness. Because you don't have to wonder where you're going to get your next meal from. And so what I'm simply saying is, are we going to be the type of people that we require difficulty in order to remain committed to the Lord? Or can we have the wisdom and integrity and humility to hunger and thirst after the Lord, even when our natural tummies may be full. Because we know man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. That's what I'm getting at. That is what I am getting at. We'll go next to Iowa, where David is on the line. David, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, Abe? It's good to talk with you. Appreciate what you're doing and appreciate your show. You know, the Bible speaks about my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And
yes.
I think with this impeachment, what they're trying to do is they know that certain people have only listened to the Democrats and what they say and get their information from the CBS and all of those places,
mm-hmm.
and not realize that they don't hear the other side of what's really going on. They hear one side, but I think that they're in a day and a time where the people need to wake up and really try to find stuff like AFR and try to get the other side of the news to see that there's more than one side to this story.
I think you're right, David. I think you're right. And listen, if you are looking for a good source of information, onenewsnow.com is a great source. Onenewsnow.com, it is a source that I use for my show prep. You can follow this information. You can follow these stories from a vantage point that you will not get from the Talking Snake Media. So onenewsnow.com is a great place. And, of course, tune into the Hamilton Corner right here on American Family Radio. Up next, we'll go to Washington, D.C., where Jason is on the line. Jason, you're in the belly of the beast. Welcome to the program, my man.
Thanks, Brother Abe. You know, the thing is, you were talking about the quid pro quo, and I just see the Dems taking a chance for a crime of opportunity.
Mm.
There's no real quid pro quo, but because there's a political candidate involved, they've just decided to wrap it into one tortilla because if they can't beat them, just cheat till you win.
I like it. One tortilla. Hey, why do you need to have facts when you can get a chalupa? See what I did there? A chalupa with extra Alexandra on top. Wrapped it into one tortilla, as Jason so eloquently stated. I like food comparisons. As Jason so eloquently stated, hey, there's no quid pro quo there, but we can try to up the ante on the rhetoric because you have a political candidate there. And then here's the thing. Here's the other thing. The Democrats know Joe Biden is not even going to win their nomination. So you have this entire thing built on focusing on Joe Biden and his family when they know he's not even going to win the Democratic nomination. And many of them don't want him to win, although some of them do want him to win. But he's not going to get the nomination. Back to the phone lines. We'll go back to Louisiana where Jerome is on the line. Jerome, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I'm sick of hearing them trying to impeach the president. I voted for him, and I know that he's going to win again. And it makes me so sick that I got to go to this point here. And it's frustrating, the fact that they're doing all this stuff, you know, knowing the president of what he's doing. And people that do vote for him can publicly say they're voting a sticker on their cars and their houses. Guess what? Retribution of what's going to happen. And stuff like, at work, had a conversation with a guy. Oh, my goodness. He blew up the one whole large thing. I said, dude, you told me your side of the story and everything, how you saw it. I told you I gave you the facts and everything. He didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, that tends to happen, Jerome. But we're living in an era where facts are valued over feelings. But since you back in my neck of the woods, why don't you do me a favor? Because I can't do it right now. Why don't you run over to Randazzo's and you get a nice chunk of Randazzo's king cake. And if you know like I know, all king cakes are not created equal. And you get a nice chunk of Randazzo's and then you'll be fueled up to where you can come back the next day and have a lucid conversation, hopefully, when this gentleman's eyes are open at a more opportune time for you to converse with him. Folks, thank you for listening to the program today. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow diagnosing foolishness du jour. But not before we delve into the Word of God, because if you do not yet know the Lord as your Savior, granting you eternal life, today is the day of salvation. Please do not harden your hearts when the Spirit of God draws you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith.